What's up? What's popping? What's happening? How are you doing? Welcome to another episode, the sixth episode of Light Up with Mariam. Welcome back, people. I am super delighted to be bringing you another episode. How have you been? What has been happening at your end? Guys, let me actually tell you. I went on a retreat this past weekend and it was a blast. It was a blast. I feel very refreshed. I've learned so much, which I honestly can't even wait to share in subsequent episodes. I feel energized. I feel thankful. My heart is full, honestly. And one of the most amazing things we did during this retreat was something that is called a circle of glory. So essentially everybody forms a circle, and then one by one we all get into the circle and everyone prays over you and they pray for you and they pray concerning you, and then the Holy Spirit reveals things concerning that person. So for someone, you may be revealing through a vision, another person prophecy, another person a word in the person's heart. That thing was fire though. I won't even lie, honestly, I think it's something that you definitely should get around to do with your friend, and then just see how the Holy Spirit reveals you to yourself and reveals himself to you too. You know, it was absolutely fantastic. And Father, we are thankful for constantly revealing yourself to us. Thank you, Father Lord, that it delights you to show us ourselves and to reveal yourself to us. And Father, your word says that the entrance of your word brings light and understanding to the simple. God, we just ask that our hearts be made simple to understand your word, and ultimately that would only see and would only hear you throughout today's podcast. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Guys, let's jump in straight into the podcast today. So today's structure would be the summary of the story of Esther, as you know. Then we'll move on to the lessons from the story of Esther, and we'll have a song of the week, an activity of the week, a confession of the week, and we'll call it a day. Yeah, sounds good? Okay, so today's summary is going to be rendered by my main girl, a woman after my heart, team lead of my FBI squad, no other but my sister, man, one and only Amataya. She would be giving the summary, guys, so sit tight, literally buckle your seats, because it's about to be wild.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Emma T coming to you from the state, and I am here today to tell you all a story. So do what? Sit down, relax the back of your body, and listen. We are learning about the story of Esther. So, first of all, I know we Nigerians tend to think that we know what's up with Patsy. Guy, we don't know what, we don't know nothing. Next to King Xerxes, we don't know diddly nothing. Brother Man, yes, I did my little clap, you know what I'm saying, because that's what we do. Brother Man had a whole party for 180 days. I'ma let that sink in. 180 days, had a party, a feast, a banquet, just like bowling. Now he has that party, and then he has a 7-day after party. Guy, who is Nigeria? Nobody know you, please. Anyway, so he has this big old party going on, right? And then on the 7th day of his after party, he calls for the queen, Queen Vashti. Queen is like, look, I'm having my own situation going on. I got a party going on for the women. I can't really show up. So king is like, you know, his ego is bruised. You know what I'm saying? You know how these people be sometimes. The queen is banished. And again, he calls his boys and they're like, you know what? Let's gather all the virgins in the land and, you know, present them to you, basically. So in this land is this beautiful young lady, gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous young lady named Esther or Hadassah. She is a Jew. She is the little cousin of this other guy named Mordecai. Mordecai raised Esther as his own daughter after her parents died, and they have a really close relationship. At some point, the king is like, you know what, Esther, this is who I want to marry. He favors her. So she got chosen, she got selected. It was like, you know what I'm saying, she got the rose, not me. So moving on, there's this other guy in the kingdom, a noble. He was recently promoted by the king, but he had a black heart. Haman is this really bad guy that the king obviously doesn't see as a bad guy and gives this great promotion to. And he finds out that Mordecai is not greeting him, and he decides it's not only Mordecai he wants to keep, he wants to eviscerate all the Jews. And he has such influence with the king that the king listens to him and signs this law to kill all the Jews, basically. Now, pandemonium just broke out. Everybody's like, what? What's going on? Like, this influence that he has, it's like the same kind of people that were trying to see the downfall of Daniel that went to the king's ears and were like, you know, somebody's not praising you type situation. Anywho, so again, like, all the Jews are sad. Mordecai is sad as well. He's wearing sad clothes everywhere. Esther finds out about this and she tries to send him good clothes and he's not wearing it. She's like, you know, what's good, uncle? What's going on? She finds out that there's this law that was signed, you know? And Mordecai obviously is like, look, you're the queen. Fix it, boo. Fix it. And she's like, look, king hasn't called for me in a bit. Y'all know how it is. I can't just roll up in there and be like, yo, king, what's up? You know what I'm saying? Like, it don't really work like that, you know what I mean? And Mordecai was like, don't think for a moment that because you're in this palace, you will escape when all other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this? And I guess that word really sunk in with my girl because, you know, she was like, you know what, uncle, I hear you. You and the peoples go fast for 3 days. Me and my man's here, we gonna fast for 3 days and I'm gonna make my move. Chapter 5. Esther adorns herself in royal robes and she goes to the king, and as God will have it, the king stretches out the golden scepter to her and welcomes her in. And the king is like, boo, what's up? What can I do for you? And she invites the king and Haman to a banquet. Now, of course, Haman goes to this banquet. He's feeling himself. He's like, man, look at me, elite class. Like, queen is inviting only me and the king to come and chop. At the banquet, the king is like, boo, what's up? Like, even if it's half of my kingdom, you got it. What do you want? And she's like, oh, you know, I just want to invite you to banquet again. And the king is like, I bet. So they go back to the banquet the second time. And the king again is like, tell me what you want. Oh, I just want to know your need. And Esther is like, help me, sir. They want to kill me and they want to kill my people. And the king is livid and he's like, who would do such a thing? Who would be so presumptuous as to touch you? And Esther is like, this man sitting next to you, Haman. And the king is like, kill him. And of course, Haman stays behind to try to beg and plead for mercy. But you know, it's too late to apologize. Sorry, I'm having too much fun doing this. So the king calls Mordecai and Esther and he has them reverse what it is. He basically gives them a blank check. And he says, now go ahead and send a message to the Jews in the king's name, telling them whatever you want and seal it with the king's signet ring. And basically, he gives them freedom to defend themselves. I hope in this short time you've been able to understand the story of Esther. I hope you enjoyed my theatrics. I'm going to sign out right now and hand it back over to Mariam, my girl, lo sis, bae, boo, bye.
Raman, Raman, that was a summary. Yo, you'll see how Matiah be summarizing the Bible like she was there, or like she even wrote the book herself. Girl, she be adding like what, sound effects? She be adding sound effects and whatnot. Man, God bless you, Matiah, and I pray that God will cause his face to shine upon you so brightly in Jesus' name. Right, guys, so we jump in quickly into the lessons I have learned from the story of Esther. So essentially, there'll be two main lessons, and let's go. So the first lesson I learned are the foreshadows, parallels from the story. First of all, I invite you to think of Esther as a representation of the human race, as Mordecai, as the parallel of Christ, and perhaps King Xerxes as a shadow of God. Firstly, aren't we all Esthers? Now let's think of it. Esther was in a strange land, a land with different people she was not of, a land called Susa. It's in the modern day Iran. Likewise, us as Christians, John 17:16 says, we are in the world, but then we're not of the world. Now, see, Esther was presented for a contest among many others. She was advised, she was counseled, instructed, guided, and taught by Mordecai, her uncle. And in turn, she found favor in the sight of the king. Personally, I saw this as synonymous to how Christ caters for his own people, from his disciples to his friends to his audience, how he taught them, instructed them, counseled, directed, and eventually sacrificed himself for us all on the cross. And by that sacrifice, we have all, as believers, found favor in the sight of God, the most excellent King, just like Esther. Next, we come to understand that Esther now becomes royalty, and in fact a queen, by reason of her marriage to the king. See, 1 Peter 2 verse 9, in Peter's letters to the believers in Rome, he tells them, "See, you are not like the people of the world, but then you're a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, a peculiar people." We see the parallel with Esther and the human race. As she finds favor in the sight of God, she is called out and separated, and now becomes royalty. Likewise us, we are called out from sin, we're separated, and in Christ we are now royalty. In fact, when Esther prepares to go and meet the king, the Bible says she puts on her royal robes and enters the inner courts of the palace. She said with her chest, "I must go and see the king. If I die, I die." Bruh, man. Say, "If I die, I die. If I die, keep me boy. That is it. Last, I died." Thank God. But then do you see the parallel where the Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need." See, Esther was concerned that she didn't even have an invitation with the king before proceeding. But for us as believers, a new creation in God, the Bible says, "Come through." It says, "Come through." Like, what are you waiting for, bruv? Come through. It says, "Come and receive my grace and mercy." Like, come boldly and receive it. You are adorned in the righteousness of Christ. Like Esther wore the royal robes, you are adorned in the righteousness of Christ, that is your own royal robe as a believer. Now see, when Esther eventually tells the king what she wants, how her life and that of her people were at stake by the reason of Haman's plans to extinguish the whole Jewish nation, the king asks, "Who would be so presumptuous to touch you?" Bruh! God. The first time I read that, I was like, rah! Like, who is that would even think of touching you? Now think about that. Imagine that every time you come to God in prayer, in times of sickness, in times of depression, in times of sadness, God looks around and says, who is so presumptuous? Who is trying to actually? Who is? Like, what is that? Like, where? Like, how? Why? I actually just imagine. But then see, moving forward, King Xerxes gives Esther his seal of authority. After the downfall of Haman, he gives her the seal of authority to make decrees in his name that would be established, so Esther does not even need to come and ask him again regarding the issues pertaining to the Jews. She simply just makes a decree to that effect. See, in Esther 8:8, the king said, "Now write another decree in the king's name on the behalf of the Jews, as it seems best to you, and seal it with the king's signet ring." Bruh! And he says, "See, every document that is written in the king's name sealed with his ring cannot even be revoked." So remember that when you are ill, as a child of God, you carry the authority of God to make decrees over your life. The Bible says in Philippians 2:10-11 that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue of those in heaven, of those on earth, of those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So see, with the name of Jesus, you have the authority to make such decrees. Whatever you decree on earth will be established in heaven too. So you have the authority as a believer to speak over that illness, to decree health into your life. So the final parallel that we draw will be regarding Mordecai. Mordecai was firstly from the lineage of King Saul of Israel. But even as royalty, he descended in ranking when in a strange land in Susa. The Bible says he worked at the king's gates. Do you see the parallel with Christ? How Christ is the royalty from the kingdom of heaven, and he comes down to earth, he descends down to earth and humbles himself to the level of man. Secondly, King Xerxes exalts Mordecai to his right-hand man. Esther 10:3 says Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Xerxes, pertinent among the Jews and held in high esteem by many of his fellow Jews, because he worked for the good of people and he spoke up for the welfare of all the Jews. This is the same way God has exalted Jesus to his right hand, seated in heavenly places, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. And more interestingly is the assurance that Mordecai makes intercessions for the Jews, just the same way Christ makes intercessions for us, according to Romans 8:34. And I'll say the highlight for me in this story is that Esther, a queen, would also sit beside the king. Now, see, the Bible says, as believers in Ephesians 2:6, that God has raised us from the dead along with Christ, and he seated us with him in heavenly places because we are united with Jesus Christ. So let me tell you that as a believer, you are sat down with Christ at the right hand side of the Father, okay? Because you're united with Christ, bruh. You are united with Christ, see? So in all, everything in this story, it points back to the redemptive work of Jesus. And right about now, we are going on our music break. Today's song is Lay All Down by Will Regan and United Pursuits. It's a song that really just emphasizes we should come boldly to the presence of God just like Esther and lay all down all that is in our hearts. Have a blast, guys. We'll be back in a bit.
Bring your worry, grief and pain, every cause you have for shame. Lay it all down. Lay it all down. When your cares have buried you and there's nothing left to do, lay it all down. Lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus. But your heart was tired, feared the worst and felt the fire. Lay it all down. Lay it all down. Filled with all those anxious thoughts and your doubts became your God. Lay it all down. Lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus. Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down. Lay it all down, lay it all down.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back from our music break. That was Laid All Down by Will Regan and United Pursuits. So now we move into the moral lessons we learned from the story. Firstly, third of place, what is your mother kind? That is the first question that I want to put forward. Who is your trusted counsel? Who is your mentor, maybe? Who are the members of your circle of influence? Who is on your board of advisors? Like Esther took Mordecai's counsel. She sought his advice, heeded his instructions, trusted his way. Who is your Mordecai? Ultimately, the Bible says that we should look up to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. So in the end, we should seek to obey God, but then it's also worth having a Mordecai. I would implore you to seek out a Mordecai whose counsel is trusted and guided by the Holy Spirit. Then secondly, take action. Take action, take action. Like Esther and Mordecai were passionate about their Jewish nation and people, and they took actions regarding it. What are you passionate about? Who are you passionate about? Are you passionate about your country, the weather, the environment, healthcare, sick people, cancer research, climate change, children, education, the elderly, youth empowerment? What are you really and truly passionate about? Identify this and take action. Give donations. Join an NGO, volunteer a couple of hours in a month, start an NGO, just do something and take action regarding that passion. Because see, in the end, it's about your impact. Seek impact and not even the positions. Because if we all contribute our quotas to our immediate communities, they would undoubtedly be changing the world. So this leads us to activity of the week. Now see, the final point of this is to take action, right? And that's really our activity of the week. If you're yet to identify top three things you're passionate about, top three solutions, three people you're passionate about, and then make resolutions and identify how you would work towards making these things a reality, how you would make plans at it, work at it. Remember, it's really the drops of water that eventually make a river. Like Esther, take that step of boldness and then go out for that thing you're passionate about. Now, our confession of the week today is, like Queen Esther, I am royalty. I'm clothed in the robe of righteousness. I'm adorned with a crown of glory. I approach God's throne in confidence. I make decrees in Jesus' name, and I'm sat at the right hand of God. So shall we take that together, or could you repeat after me then? Like Queen Esther, I am royalty. I'm clothed in the robe of righteousness. I'm adorned with the crown of glory. I approach God's throne in confidence. I make decrees in Jesus' name. And I am sat at the right hand of God. Father in heaven, the privilege, the honor, the pleasure, the joy to know you, God, to study of you, and to see you reveal yourself in the simplest Bible stories. Father, we ask that you help us take actions with the desires you have placed in our hearts. Guide us, Father, in the travails of life, and help us ultimately to keep looking up to Jesus in all things we do. We thank you again, Father, and we love you wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you all for sticking with us at the end. Remember that God is not a secret to be kept. So tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to listen to Light Up Podcast. Y'all know where to reach your girl. I light up with Miriam on Instagram, light up Miriam on Facebook, light up Miriam at gmail.com if you want to hit me up on email. And shout out again to Omotaya. Thank you for coming through for us and giving us the summary. Y'all know I love you, and Jesus loves you more. Have a blessed, guys, and take care. Bye. Mwah.